We turn this afternoon once again to the book of Samuel, and this time to chapter 3. And we're reminded here in this first book of the way in which the Lord God, in a most extraordinary way, comes to the aid of his people. We've read this chapter this afternoon, but by way of an introduction to this, we need to observe what we're told in the first two chapters of this book as well. For the chapters running up to this set the scene before us. As we opened this afternoon, we had something of a summary here of the situation that prevailed in Israel of old. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. We're speaking here of God's people. There was no open vision. These were times of great declension, and yet, in spite of the great wickedness that went on, there were groups and families who still worshipped the Lord God Jehovah. One such family was the family from the which young Samuel came. Hannah's Prayer, chapter 2. One of the most remarkable prayers in the scriptures. The prayer is remarkable in a number of ways. I suppose there are many reasons we could state, but I can't go into all of them this afternoon, but very simply, I want you to see something of the foresight of the prayer that she made. Because she had a vision for her people. She saw the desperate state of things. She saw the things that prevailed, and she saw the fact that Eli was a very old man, the high priest of the Lord. There was a great need in the land at this time. He was, of course, judge as well. The land needed a judge who was righteous. She was aware of the great wickedness that went on in and around the temple courts, the state into which Eli's sons had fallen in the way in which they conducted their lives and beings. And as she observed this thing, her prayer and petition was for a man child. But the vision that she had that went far beyond that was that she looked for a man child that the Lord would give her, and she in turn would give him to be a priest to the Lord in the temple courts. Now that in itself is quite extraordinary, because it sets the scene of desperation, and yet it also sets the scene of a believing woman in Israel at this time. She looked to the Lord, and the Lord honoured the prayer and the petition that she made, and in due course young Samuel came along, and she brought him to the temple. We're not told how old he was, but there he had been taught at his mother's knee concerning the God of Israel. He had been shown the way in which through history God had blessed his people and gone before. And now when she brings him and leaves him here at the temple at this time, he is under the instruction of Eli. And Eli guided and directed him, and he was one whom the scriptures in the previous chapter speak much of in the way of his progress that he made there. But this afternoon, in chapter 3, we need to see three things. The call of God, that is to Samuel. The instructions of Eli to Samuel. And the response of Samuel, that of course is to the Lord God. This is a very simple scene, but none the more for that. It's a very profound one as well. The way in which the Lord undertook and overruled in all these affairs is truly amazing when we look at what we're told here. Young Samuel was keen about the duties here in the temple. I am absolutely certain that he does not understand nor grasp the great significance of the things that the Lord had for him to do. But at this stage, he was actively involved in being taught of the duties here in the temple of old. He would light the candles or lamps. He would fill them with oil. He would do the errands that Eli bid him. And he was here constantly being reminded of the law of the Lord as Eli, day by day, would continue the ministry that his mother had left off when she brought him to the temple. So the scene here is truly remarkable. Eli had two sons. We're told clearly and plainly in the words of Holy Writ, they knew not the Lord. What a solemn thing when this is the case. The high priest of the land had two sons. They walked not in the way of their father, and they had no regard whatever to the things of the Lord God or what he held dear to. This is a sad situation to the which we're introduced to. But there are many comparisons that we're able to draw here between the things of when this chapter was in being and the situation today. We have sad scenes and situations around us today when there are those who have been brought up to know something of the ways of salvation, they walk not in them, and they have no time nor regard for the things of the Lord God. It must bring great grief to the hearts of many a parent when this is the case. But these rebelled against the things of the Lord God. And young Samuel comes to this scene. And we have to say of this, that the protection of Almighty God was about him during those early impressionable years. God guarded him, he kept him, he enabled him, and here young Samuel was one who continued in the progress of the things of the Lord God. What an important lesson we have here, that the young need to be taught of the things of the Lord. It was important these many centuries ago. It is just as important today. And to this situation, young Samuel stands in good stead. And he is one who knows something of the things of the Lord God. If you turn back to chapter 2, you will see there in verse 11. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, a child girded with a linen ephod. Verse 21. The child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26. The child Samuel grew on and was in favour both with the Lord and also with men. This indicates to us something of the progress that young Samuel made there in the temple. The Lord God brings young Samuel to an awareness of the things of himself and the importance of them. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. When you speak to various folk today, and I suppose particularly visiting preachers that you may well have, you will sometimes perhaps say to them, well, where do you go? Where do you live? And they will tell you. And wherever in this country, there are those who love the truth and the things of the Lord God, that they travel greater and greater distances to do so. This seems to be something of the happenings of the day in which we live. Therefore, when the scripture here in chapter 3 and verse 1 speaks of the words of the Lord being precious in those days, they are precious in our days as well. And there are many churches where the word of God and the gospel is not proclaimed as it should be. These are sad times, but these were sad times of old in the land of Israel. So we can see direct comparisons between this ancient scripture and things that go on about us today. There was a lack of spiritual values here. There is a great lack of spiritual values today in our land. The revelation of the Lord God and his word is just as important today as it was of old. So we can draw upon this scripture and see that it hath a modern day application to our time. It is relevant to us in these days in which we live. There were but few who followed hard after the things of the Lord God. There were plenty who were involved in religion, but there were but few who were involved in the things of the Lord God. There is an ample supply of religion in our land today, but there are but few who genuinely believe that this is the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Those that sought the Lord found the Word of the Lord, and it was something that was precious to them. They depended upon it, and they continued to worship Almighty God in spite of the trends of the day. And we must not be sidetracked by the trends of the day that would lead us into avenues that are not scriptural, and avenues that will take us into entertainment and away from the things of the Lord. But another fundamental reason is set out here in these verses. If things are wrong at the house of the Lord, the whole nation is affected. And fundamentally today, that is one of our great concerns, because things are wrong at the house of the Lord God, and it affects the whole social and moral structure of the land in which we live. These were days when, in general terms, God seems to have withdrawn his influence from the nation. That's a sad thing when that happens. But it may well be that this is what's happening today, in the days in which we live. But into such a situation, and into such a scene, God calls young Samuel. What a remarkable set of verses we have here, that show us and indicate to us this remarkable call. Can you with me use your mental imagination for a few moments? Darkness was again upon them. The lamp of God had gone out in the temple. Eli had retired to his realm, and Samuel to his, and these had laid to sleep. And God would call young Samuel in the quietness and the darkness of the temple at that time. But we see the responsive way that Samuel responds to the call. He comes to Eli with the words, "You called me, here am I." But of course, Eli hadn't called him. But it wasn't very long before Eli perceived, to use the phrase here used in the scripture, that it was none other than the Lord God who had called him. But as this continues, until the time when Eli was aware of this, he gives instructions as to what he must say. He assures him that he had not called him. It must be none other than the Lord who had called him. Verse 6, verse 8. All these indicate and show us the happenings of that evening. The effectual call of grace. And what an effectual call that is. And how important it is as well. But it was repeated until Samuel answered. But another extraordinary thing here is set out before us. You may well have observed, and you may well have wondered why I hadn't mentioned this before. But look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, set that in the context of the verses that we looked back, that we looked at in the previous chapter. Verses 11, verses 18, verses 21, and particularly verse 26. All these verses give us to understand that the child Samuel was growing in grace and in a knowledge of the things of the Lord God. We come to chapter 3 and we read, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord in his mouth." Well, let's take the latter part of the scripture first, and then it shows something of what we're to understand from the former, I believe. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So what did he, in fact, know? He knew of the God of Israel. He knew what great things the Lord God of Israel had done for his ancient people. He had been taught these things at his mother's knee. He knew all about the duties in the temple that he had to perform. He was well aware of the problems and difficulties that surrounded the scene and the situation here. But on this occasion, the Lord would reveal himself to him in a way that Samuel never knew and had never experienced before. He knew what it was to be brought up to an understanding of grace and faith. He did not, however, know what it was to be called to be priest and prophet in Israel. The Lord had never spoken to him in such a direct manner as is recorded for us here in these verses. This is quite a remarkable scene. He was to be priest, prophet, and judge in Israel, and he was but a lad. This was to be a heavy responsibility that was to be placed upon young shoulders. And here Samuel listens to the voice that called him by name. So we begin to see here that which the Lord would reveal to him would be his life's work. So when the scripture is speaking here of not yet knowing the Lord, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have any conception or understanding of the Lord God. It means that he had no grasp up until this point in time of the great work that the Lord has for him to do. And indeed it was an extraordinary work. And the very first thing that he would have to do would possibly be one of the most difficult things. He would have to go to Eli, knowing full well that Eli would say, "What did the Lord say to you last evening?" And he would be expected to give word for word of what happened. So this begins to set out before us something of a very solemn scene here in the life of Samuel of old, brought up his mother's knee to understand the things of the Lord God and the great things that he had done, but now to be given an insight into his life's work as the high priest, taking the place of Eli, to be the judge, taking the place of Eli in that, to instruct that people, to call them back to an awareness of what the law of the Lord God had said, the law that Moses so ably brought to the attention of the people. God calls his people by various ways, in different situations, and here we have quite a remarkable one. In these verses here, although Samuel did not know who it was who called him, he responds to what he believed was the case, and he goes to Eli and he reports upon the fact that he was there. What did he want him for? But we come to our second observation this afternoon: the instructions of Eli. This man was aware of the things that were going on. Verse 9. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place." These instructions that were given, very simple, very much to the point, but they were what was needed on this occasion. Eli instructs young Samuel what he must do, how we should value the godly who give us instructions and insight into the things what we should do and what we should give attention to. We note here that Eli told him to call himself thy servant. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But Samuel doesn't say that. He simply says, "Speak." He missed that word "Lord" out. When I pondered this, I wondered perhaps why he did that. And I couldn't come up with any answer to that apart from this: his age, the circumstances, and he responds in a way that was so natural to him. He responds to the call of the Lord God to listen to what he had to say. This was something particularly important for you observed in the reading. It was Samuel, Samuel, called by name, called twice by name. There was something important about that call on that occasion. He was to prepare himself on the instructions of Eli to hear the one who would call to him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, here am I for those who calls me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. You see, the moment he perceived, that is Eli, that the Lord had called the child, the instructions that he gave, all this began to make sense. And Samuel responded to the instruction that was given. But then another extraordinary thing shows itself here in verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. So there was a visible presence here. But I said a few moments ago that the temple courts were dark. But the Shekinah glory is such that darkness is no inhibition to that. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times. Samuel, Samuel, what sort of vision it was, I have no idea. But there was a presence there of the Lord God, here in that very room, on that occasion, that bedroom that night, when young Samuel carries out the instruction of Eli, as he responds to the Lord speaking to him. Yes, this is indeed a remarkable scene that we have here in these verses. We note something of the importance of the message. Called twice, Samuel, Samuel. The message that he was to receive was to be a great and a solemn message. It would relate to the house of Eli and what would happen to that household. These indeed were sad days, as I said. The outcome of judgment upon that household would be equally sad, for the Lord would deal with that household, and that in a day, as these two would perish. And on hearing the news, Eli likewise. You just begin to try and comprehend what this meant to young Samuel as he listens and observes this. Samuel was called to be one of the last judge in Israel. What a role he had to fulfill. What serious duties he had to perform. Called and appointed of God, and possibly around 12 years of age. But God's call comes to all ages, to young, to middle age, sometimes to very old. You see, our God knows what is best, and thus accordingly he acts, and this was the case here of old. Humanly speaking, looking at this scene, there was a great urgency in these days. And the Lord responded, let me take you back to the prayers of Hannah, his mother. And now the Lord is beginning this great work. And he would teach young Samuel the ways of himself. He would show him what he would have to do. That end verse that we read there, verse 21, again verifies this. As the Lord appears to him and makes known his ways before him in the duties that he would have to perform. How important to teach young people the ways of the Lord God, and often the great responsibilities that go with it. Samuel was called in weakness, but he would go forth in the strength and power of Almighty God. But what was his response? We come to our third observation. The response of Samuel, and what a response it was in the way in which he speaks. The end part of verse 10, then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. He, firstly, was prepared to listen, speak. But secondly, he would hear the things that the Lord would make known to him. So we observe here the response of young Samuel to the call of the Lord God regarding his future and regarding the duties that he would have to perform. And this was not going to be easy. This would be a great and difficult thing that he would have to do, to report to Eli concerning what the Lord had said to him. But the circumstances of life for thee and me are often similar. We go through the experiences of life and the happenings, but through them often the Lord is teaching and preparing us for greater obstacles and problems that will come our way in the future. He, the Lord God, knows what is best for his people, and thus accordingly he will instruct them. The message here was one of wrath to come, and what God would do. He would bring judgments upon Israel, he would bring judgments upon the sons of Eli, because of their great wickedness. Israel had fallen away from the things of the Lord God. Idolatry and many other things were the order of the day. And Eli had not restrained his sons. But what a judgment it would be, verse 14, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." What a solemn verse that is. The far-reaching effects of it. And elsewhere we are told that none of the descendants of the household of Eli would ever reach the flower of their years. This was a sad statement that the Lord was making. And why? Because sin was everywhere, abounding in Israel at this time. It would be an occasion that those who observed would look on with astonishment, and they would regard this with some terror as they saw these things begin to happen. God would bring his judgments. You do not need me to tell you this afternoon that if you speak to the world of judgment, they will say, "Rubbish, we don't believe in that, that's old hat, it is not relevant anymore." Well, isn't it? When we read through the scriptures, we see that when God promises judgment, judgment comes. Sometimes in a temporal way. It will most certainly come at the end of the age. But God, through temporal judgments, often teaches and shows his people something of the way in which he will have them brought to observe and to be knowledgeable of what he is able and capable of doing. And Samuel took all this in his stride. You begin to see something of the horrendous responsibility that was placed upon him, the things that he would have to do and attend to. Here was one who, I would suggest, in spite of his young age, was one of a contrite heart, upright before the Lord his God beyond his age. And young Samuel was about the duties in the temple here. As we continue and we see what we're told, verse 15, "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." Now look back at the early part of verse 15. "And Samuel lay until the morning." It doesn't say, "And Samuel laid and slept until the morning." And I would say he probably didn't. He ponders what he had been told. He thought of the daybreak, and he would arise and open the doors of the temple, and he would almost dread the voice of Eli when he said, "Samuel." And Samuel would respond and go to him. He knew full well what the question would be. What was it the Lord said unto thee in the night? The call of Samuel was a very solemn one. It was one that brought responsibility upon him, but it was one that also brought him in close contact with the Lord his God. He was now aware of the presence and person of the Lord God in a way that he had never ever known before. The things of the Lord took on a new meaning. We can well imagine how he feared to show Eli the vision of the night. But into this situation, do you not think that the Lord grants grace even to young Samuel to do just that? For we are told here, he told him every whit. He withheld nothing. And when God gives instructions regarding judgment, we have to do the same. We cannot withhold anything. Indeed, the whole counsel of God has to be proclaimed. And this was what young Samuel spent his life in doing as he grew into age and responsibility. As many other things came along, he had to denounce various ones, even kings. But oh, that our response might be even as that of Samuel of old, verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. What a value there is in those words. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground, consciously aware of all, at all times, of the responsibility he had, first to the Lord God, in bringing the things, ways, and judgments of Almighty God before this people. God honoured him in the work that he had to do, and Samuel grew because the Lord was with him. And God says, them that honour me, I will honour.